the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Sovereign God, ruler of all hearts, you call us to obey you, and you favor us with true freedom. Keep us faithful to the ways of your Son, that leaving behind all that hinders us, we may steadfastly follow your paths. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message. Good morning, Sawyer. Good morning, Brantley. And we have a lot of new friends this morning. Good morning. Please tell me your names.
Aniston.
Varner. Turner. Adeline. Amelia. Weston and Trevor. Good morning, everybody. Well, let me scoot down so there's room for everybody. A little bit more. There we go. So this past week, I took our middle schoolers to confirmation camp at a place called Camp Agape, which is a couple of hours away. And one of the fun things about Camp Agape is that all throughout the day we are singing, and most of the songs that we sing have special motions. And so I paid special attention this week so that I could teach us a couple of the prayers that we prayed before meals at Camp Agape. So the first one is really silly. Have any of you ever been to Burger King?
Yeah.
Do you know that the slogan for Burger King is "Have it your way," meaning you get to have your hamburger ever how you want it, maybe with ketchup or maybe with pickles? Okay, so repeat after me. This is the Burger King prayer. Lord, we are your burgers, and you are the king. Have it your way. Amen. That's a silly prayer, isn't it? Yes. Well, another prayer that we learned how to pray, and this one has some motions, and I thought this is especially fun with 4th of July coming up because there'll be fireworks. So repeat after me. This one has motions. No, really no words. Okay. Oh, hold on. Wow. So those are supposed to be fireworks at the very end. We say, wow. But we're giving thanks for things in this prayer. So when we do this way, what are some things above us that we can give thanks for? The roof. Yes, the roof. The sun. The sky. Jesus. How about stars and maybe rain? Absolutely. Okay. What are some things that we can give thanks for below us?
The floor that we stand on.
The floor that we stand on. The grass. The flowers. Okay. If we're giving thanks for the person to our left, who are we giving thanks for? I'm giving thanks for Sawyer and Trevor and Anna. And you're giving thanks for the person to your left. The same when we give thanks for the person to our right. And so we're giving thanks for those people. So those are the things that we've offered that we're thankful for. So should we pray together? Do you think we should have the congregation join us?
Yeah?
Okay, ready? Should we do it together or do you want to repeat after me?
Repeat after you.
Okay. Wow. Oh, that was wonderful. Well, maybe you guys can pray these prayers at home too. And since we just prayed together, I'm going to invite you to go with Kelly this morning to Children's Church. She told me she has a really special book for you guys to read. So thank you for coming up this morning.
The New Testament lesson is from the 5th chapter of Galatians. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Not only do you use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love, become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 9th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of them. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. But they did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples James and John saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from the heaven and consume them?" But Jesus turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, this morning I am coming to you from all the way back at Camp Agape and bring you warm greetings from some of the most beautiful 600 acres of land that I think exists out there. And I want to tell you that the campers and I had a wonderful week. I wasn't ready for it to be over. Camp always goes by so quickly. But we are looking forward to the opportunity to share our adventures and learnings with you next week. One of the things that the confirmands did last week was every day we learned about one of the baptismal promises they will be making for themselves when they are confirmed this October, right? These promises were made by their parents in their baptism, but now as they're growing older and have the capacity to think and learn for themselves, they will take on these promises as their own in just a few months. And they are to live among God's faithful people, to hear the word of God and share in the Lord's Supper, to proclaim the good news of God in Christ through word and deed, to serve all people following the example of Jesus, and to strive for justice and peace in all the earth. These are the promises that we've all made in confirmation, and every year at Easter when we affirm our baptism, we renew these promises. And so for our middle schoolers, each day we got to think about these promises and explore what they mean and how we might live them out in our everyday life. Well, interestingly enough, we see in the Apostle Paul's letter to the church in Galatia that those followers of Jesus are also trying to figure out what it means to live as baptized Christians in the world, and what it means to be a follower of Jesus in their time and in their context. In the verses Debbie read just a few minutes ago from Galatians 5, Paul is talking a lot about freedom. Freedom, it's a word that we as Americans love, and we're getting ready to hear a lot of it over the next couple of weeks as the 4th of July approaches. Freedom is something that we are grateful for, right? Our nation's freedoms allow us to worship and teach God's word without fear of governmental interference. Our nation's freedoms allow us to choose careers and leisure activities. But brothers and sisters, there is a freedom far greater and more important than the freedom we might have in any given system of government. There is a freedom that surpasses the freedom of speech and freedom of religion. And that is the freedom given to us in Christ. I know it's a little bit confusing since there's only one English word for these two different types of freedoms. But even though it's the same English word, they're not the same kind of freedom. So I'm going to differentiate them by saying American freedoms and the freedom we have in Christ. And so the Apostle Paul's words we read today are a good and necessary reminder of the difference between the two and what the freedom we have in Christ means for how we live our lives. Through Christ, we have been set free to serve one another in love. In Christ, we are set free from sin to love others. We aren't set free from sin to do whatever we want. We aren't set free from sin to meet our own selfish desires. Our freedom in Christ comes with a calling. We are set free to love others and to think of others as better than ourselves, to put the needs of others above our own desires, and to love others as ourselves. As Lutheran Christians, we believe that salvation is a free gift from God. God doesn't need us or require us to do anything to earn our salvation. We are saved by grace through faith. However, once we receive salvation, which we believe happens in baptism, we are called to live a life loving our neighbors. This call is not optional. It's not a recommendation. And in fact, we have made promises on how to live out this call. We just read them above, right? And it includes proclaiming the good news of God through word and deed, serving all people following the example of Jesus, and striving for justice and peace in all the earth. This is the call that we have. We are set free in Christ from the power of sin to live out love in our lives for others. Also, as part of this call, we don't get to pick and choose who our neighbors are. Our neighbors are all people. All people, no exceptions. And so, brothers and sisters, there are no ifs, ands, or buts about this freedom in Christ. We are set free to love our neighbors and to serve them in love. Paul firmly tells the Galatians that they are not to use their freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence. And I want to make a little caveat clear here. When Paul says flesh, the English word flesh might mean we think about our bodies, our physical bodies. But what Paul is talking about here is the whole self under the power of sin, with its self-serving desires and motives. The truth is, God created our bodies, God loves our bodies, and God calls our bodies good. So Paul isn't saying here that our bodies are bad or evil. What he is saying is that when we, our whole selves, are under the power of sin, we become incredibly selfish. One of the ways that Luther often talked about sin was being curved in on oneself. And so I want you all to curve in on yourselves. What do you see when you are curved in on yourself? You only see yourself, right? When you're curved in on yourself, you cannot see others. You can't see the needs of others. And that's what the freedom of Christ is. It's the exact opposite of being curved in on ourselves. Because the freedom of Christ is to not be self-serving. The freedom we have in Christ is lifting up our chins so that we can see others, so that we can see the needs of others, and so that we can put the needs of others ahead of our own needs. Because the freedom we have in Christ sets us free from the sins of selfishness, sets us free from the sins of self-centeredness. The freedom we have in Christ sets us free from the need and desire to seek out or demand what is best for us before we do what is best for another. That is the freedom and the power that we have in Christ. So I thought we could look at a couple of examples, maybe in the small catechism. So if we look at the fifth commandment. The fifth commandment says, "You shall not murder." Okay. I'm pretty sure none of us in here are going to murder. So can we put a check by that one? Well, let's listen to what Luther says about this commandment in his small catechism. We are to fear and love God so that we neither endanger nor harm the lives of our neighbors, but instead help and support them in all of life's needs. Right? That's what the fifth commandment means for us. Right? What it means for us to not murder isn't just that we don't kill someone, but that we help and support them in all of life's needs. And so, brothers and sisters, the freedom of Christ that we have in Christ is that we are set free from the sin of selfishness and self-centeredness so that we can love and serve our neighbors, neither by endangering or harming them, but instead by helping them and supporting them in all of life's needs. How about the eighth commandment? You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. What does this mean, Luther asks? We are to fear and love God so that we do not tell lies about our neighbors, betray or slander them, or destroy their reputations. Instead, we are to come to their defense speak well of them, and interpret everything they do in the best possible life, in the best possible light. And so through Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are set free from the sin of selfishness and self-centeredness, so that not only do we not tell lies about our neighbors, so that not only do we not betray and slander them, we are set free so that we can love them by coming to their defense and speaking well of them and interpreting everything they do in the best light. Brothers and sisters, in the waters of baptism, we are set free from sin. We are set free from that sin of selfishness and self-centeredness. And in being set free, we are given the freedom of Christ to no longer satisfy our selfish desires and our self-centered motives. We have been set free in Christ so that we are no longer curved in on ourselves. Jesus lifts up our chin so that we see all of our neighbors as beloved children of God. And Jesus lifts up our chin and sets us free from the power of sin so that we can love our neighbors and serve them in love. Now, it's easy to be tempted to confuse the freedom we have in Christ and the freedom that we have as Americans because, like I said, it is the same English word, but their definitions are often found on opposite ends of the spectrum. Right? Because hear this again about the freedom we have in Christ. These are Paul's words. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence. When you come forward this morning for communion, pause at the font. Dip your fingers in that water. Make the sign of the cross on your forehead to remember your baptism. And let your sin and the sin of selfishness and self-centered motives be drowned in this water, in the waters of God's love, so that rising out of the waters and rising yet again to new life in Christ, we can lift up our chins and live into the true freedom that we have in Christ. We are free to love as God loves. Amen.
Thank you.
Living together in hope and trust, let us confess our faith together. I believe in God the Father Almighty,
creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Drawn into the embrace of the Holy Trinity, we lift our prayers for the wholeness of the Church, the world, and all creation. Guide your Church, O God. Anoint us for service and make us messengers of your peace. Emboldened by the witness of Christians throughout history, send us to proclaim your reign come near. God of grace, hear our prayer. Protect this world, O God. Watch over fields and fruit trees, boxes and birds, the pleasant land beneath us, and the sun and moon above. Keep us mindful of the rich inheritance you have given us in the natural world. God of grace, counsel our leaders, O God. Make them steadfast in seeking justice and unable to be shaken as they pursue peace. Lead them by your Spirit to listen and respond to the people they govern, especially the vulnerable and those on the margins. God of grace, uphold all who suffer, O God. Give refuge to those of us who know rejection, and shelter to those of us who have nowhere to lay our heads. Bring any who are sick into your healing presence, especially Paul and Carolina, Bobby and Jana, John, Janine, Rosala, Eddie, Pam, Dottie, Bobby, our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. Give all your fullness of joy, God of grace. Set free this assembly, O God. Grow your Spirit's truth within us and within our congregation's ministries. Set our faces always on you, that we might live in the freedom to which you have called us. God of grace, embrace all your saints, O God. We thank you for the faithful departed. Let us rejoice that you do not abandon us to the grave, but lead us on the path of life. God of grace.
Gather all our prayers in your mercy, O God, through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. I invite you to share the peace of Christ with those around you.
To bear my burden. Because we do hold our newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives. But greater still, the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days because he lives. And then one day, across that river, I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory and I'll know he reigns. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. And life is worth the living just because he lives.
Let us pray together. Creator God, in your wisdom you bring
good, and the harvest is plentiful. Strengthen us at your table with these gifts of the earth and our labor, that we may work for the good of all. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection open to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. All praise to you, glorious God of grace. Throughout the ages, you have blessed us with foremothers of the faith. With Sarah, we bless you for your gift of life. With Ruth, we praise you for family and food. With Miriam, we celebrate our escape from the foe. Remembering Deborah, we honor the words of your prophets. Remembering the woman at the well, we laud you for living water. Remembering Junia, we thank you for those who minister among your people. One with the daughter of Jairus, we wake to new life in you. With Mary, we magnify your name. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Remembering Martha and Mary, we join Jesus at this meal. Living, he healed the bleeding woman. Dying, he cared for his mother. Risen, he sent Mary Magdalene in mission. In the night in which before he died, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." With Mary, again, we magnify your name. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Mighty God of mercy, as you heard the prayers of Hannah, so now hear us. Send your spirit on this bread and wine, that sharing the body and blood of Christ, we become his body in the world. Send your spirit on this assembly, that like Phoebe, we serve one another with zeal. Send your spirit on the church, that like Anna, we tell others of your mercy. Send your spirit into our hearts, that like Dorcas, we care for the poor and needy. All praise to you, powerful God of peace. We adore you, our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you who mother and feed and comfort us, today, tomorrow, and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. This is the Lord's table. Jesus is the host, and we are Christ's guests. Jesus welcomes everyone to come, to eat and be nourished, fed and forgiven. Visitors and children are welcome to receive communion. Those who do not wish to receive communion are still welcomed forward for a blessing. Just cross your hands like this so that we will know. Gluten-free wafers are available, and grape juice is in the center of the trays. If you're not able to come forward, the pastor will come to you with the bread and wine. And now, the kingdom of God is set before you. Eat and rejoice.
Thank you.
for the table blessing. Ready? The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray together. Mothering God, you gathered us to your table, and we drank deeply of your grace. Send us out by your Spirit to love our neighbors as ourselves, and proclaim your love in Jesus' name. Amen.
The love of God abound in you. The grace of our Savior, Jesus Christ, fill your hearts, and the life of the Spirit bless you and give you peace. Amen.
Let us say together the mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Peace. Be by the Spirit.